Blog Talk Radio.
Back again. God has seemed fit to give me another day to talk to you about what's going on in American politics today. Today, wow, time is sure flying, isn't it? It is December 16th, 2010, 9 p.m., Washington, D.C., United States of America, planet Earth, third planet from the sun. I'm your host, Dr. C. Robert Jones. I'd like to get started with this show right about now and get right down to it. Obama's approval numbers plummeting yet again. Why? Why? Oh. Is it the health care bill? Is it the promise of a new day? The promise of free stuff? The fact that some folks aren't getting their free stuff, their stuff that comes from Obama's stash. Huh. Well, let's listen to it. Let's check it out. Check this out. Some of you heard this, but I know quite a few of you have not. So go ahead and check it out. Tell me what you think about it.
Let's go to the audio sound bites this week. Here's a portion of Ken Rogolski reporting on WJR in Michigan. Two people here in line for Obama cash.
Why are you here?
To get the money.
What kind of money?
Obama money.
Where's it coming from?
Obama.
And where did Obama get it?
I don't know. It's fast. I don't know. I don't know where he got it from. But he's giving it to us. They help us.
We love him.
That's why we voted for him.
To fill out yet?
I sure did, and I filled it out, and I am waiting to see what the results are going to be.
Will you know today how much money you're getting?
No, I won't, but I'm waiting for a phone call.
What from?
I believe it came from the city of Detroit, or the state.
Where did they get it from?
The funds that were given by Obama.
And where did Obama get the funds?
Obama might have gotten the funds from, I have no idea.
In downtown Detroit, Ken Rogolski, WJR News.
Now, let me put this in perspective. This is the model citizen in Barack Obama's vision.
It sure is. A model citizen in Barack Obama's vision. This is what I've been talking about this whole time. Barack Obama and the Democrats want you to be dependent upon the government for food and shelter, clothing, money, everything. Obama and the Democrats want you to believe that you're helpless without the help of the government. It's a cruel form of hatred to convince people that they're helpless to survive by their own initiative and power, and that they need the goodwill of the distributors to take what others have earned and transfer it to the, quote, helpless, end quote. Sad, but this is the entitlement mentality that destroys the value of good work and disempowers individuals from fully realizing their potential. In essence, folks, the welfare state is economic and psychological, dare I say it, slavery of everyone, not just this lunatic, clearly misguided black woman who believes that Barack Obama's election is going to entitle her to something for nothing. Hey, let's go to the next clip here. It's genius.
Peggy Joseph took her daughter out of school early Wednesday for this. Her emotions ran high following Obama's speech.
It was the most memorable time of my life. It was a touching moment because I never thought this day would ever happen. I won't have to worry about putting gas in my car. I won't have to worry about paying my mortgage. You know, if I help him, he's going to help me.
Barack Obama's election for some is the most memorable time of their lives, because now they won't have to worry about putting gas in their cars or paying their mortgage or paying their insurance or their electric bills or their gas bills or any bills at all, because if you help Obama, he will help you. There's so many misguided people here in the United States. So many people who are just plain damned ignorant. The kind of people who did not go to school and study and pay attention. The kind of people who don't know history. These two examples I gave you are of black people, and damn it, I am ashamed to be black after listening to that. It is shameful. And I know, of course, not all black people feel this way. Certainly not all black people are enchanted and have a thrill going up their leg from President Obama. I mean, I'm a perfect example of that, and I'm sure there are many others out there like me. But this is an example of people who simply did not study. Didn't Stalin promise that the trains would run on time? Didn't Hitler promise that Germany would see a new day, a more prosperous day? If you recall in history, Germany was suffering very harsh economic times, very similar to that of the United States today. The government languished in mediocrity. Their money, well, you basically had to carry that around in wheelbarrows in order to get things. In actual wheelbarrows. There are pictures of it, video. So the very similar situation. Along came a charismatic leader who promised the German citizens the world and delivered only death and destruction and despair for generations to come. A charismatic leader who promised to uplift and bring about a new day in a German society. And I can cite other nations throughout history where there was a leader who came out of nowhere, out of obscurity, to enchant the people with flowery verbiage, enumerating all sorts of, well, just basically a bunch of crap. But they were there. They were the examples. Obama is an example. And I wonder how many folks out there are paying attention when a president comes along and he says that on election day, this is the day when the seas recede and the cloudy skies become clear and all becomes right with the world, that this is the day. I wish I had that speech handy, but I don't. History teaches us that when a little-known, charismatic, well-spoken politician steps out of the shadows, nothing good comes from it. Nothing at all. At least Bill Clinton was a governor twice in tiny little Arkansas. He sucked so bad, he was thrown out of office the first time, won re-election a second time, did a much better job. This guy comes out of nowhere, out of the Illinois State Senate, where he voted present the majority of the time when he even showed up. A little-known senator who spent 2 years in the United States Senate, who voted present the majority of the time in the U.S. Senate. No experience whatsoever in running a company, a corporation, a small business. No experience running a government or a municipality. His lack of experience shows, and yet there are those who would say that he is doing a great job, that he's a fine president. And look at what he's given us. Free health care for the masses. Affordable, free health care. And so many other good things. And he blanches at the thought that we're ungrateful. Oh, he is a jealous God, isn't he? But today, most voters don't believe President Barack Obama will win re-election, or that he deserves to, according to a new poll released today. Just 29% of the registered voters surveyed by Fox News and Opinion Dynamics said they believe Obama would win in 2012. 64% said they expected him to lose. Why? Why? Because just like with Stalin, Mussolini, Adolf Hitler, just to name three, soon enough, the people begin to see, begin to open their eyes, and come to grips with the fact that the emperor has no clothes. That the man that they once cast as a deity, as a savior, is just a man, and not even a very good one. So here's what we have here with President Obama. Either he is just plain stupid, or he knows exactly what he's doing. He is making an awful, awful mess out of this country. And he came into office promising bipartisanship, the likes of which has never been seen in American politics. What did he say? There are no red states. There are no blue states. Only the United States of America. And yet he seeks to divide and conquer every single day. Every day. Those damn Republicans, they can ride in the back of the bus. They can't sit in the front of the bus. They've been drinking the Slurpees in the back of the car. And while we pull the car out of the ditch and all that crap. Is this the kind of president we want? Ask yourself, would George Bush have spoken this way about his adversaries? Did he? I would like anyone to call in and cite a time where George Bush spoke so partisanly about his opponents. 877-666-9305 is the call-in number. Or Ronald Reagan, or Bill Clinton, or hell, even Jimmy Carter. But the great savior, Barack Obama, he believes that it's just plain okay to speak about your opponents in negative terms. Divide and conquer? He's supposed to be this great uniter. Is that even a word? He promised to be the savior of this great nation, of this great republic. So now, with just 29% of registered voters, believe that Obama would win in 2012, and 64% said they expected him to lose, what will he do? Does this mean that America has rejected socialism? Marxism? Does this mean that Obama's plan to fundamentally transform the United States of America and remake it in his own image, or in the image of his puppet master, George Soros, with no borders, no governments, no nationalities, just open borders where everybody does whatever they want. Views of Obama's ability to get reelected broke down along party lines, with 49% of Democrats and 10% of Republicans saying Obama would win. In a similar poll a year ago, 44% of the voters said Obama would win. In a Wall Street Journal NBC News poll released earlier this week, Obama led a generic Republican presidential candidate 43-39%, and specific candidates by even larger margins. Views of whether Obama deserves a second term also broke down along partisan lines. Overall, 30% of those surveyed said he deserved re-election. Among Democrats, it was 67%. Among Republicans, just 7%. Among independents, 32% said Obama deserves re-election. Well, it looks like our guy's in a little bit of a pickle right now. Now, I know some would cite the tired analogy that I did a pretty good Ronald Reagan imitation there. Did you hear that? Well, no, I got off track. They say that, pundits will say that right around this same time in the presidency of Ronald Reagan and Bill Clinton, their poll numbers were fairly similar. And they bounced back and won re-election handedly.
Barack Obama is no Bill Clinton. Heck, didn't he prove that just the other day when he had to run off to Michelle? Looked at his watch and said, hey, I can't keep Michelle waiting. I've been keeping her waiting long enough and you got to go to this party. And boy, Bill Clinton, you got to love the guy. I mean, he said, okay, you just go ahead. I'll take care of this. And he stood on stage and, man, he just loved it. He just loved it. He was like a little kid at a Christmas party and he's like the only kid there and everybody's just loving him. He loved it. Barack Obama is no Bill Clinton. Barack Obama lacks charisma, humor. He is not glib because the teleprompter doesn't lend to glibness. He's not off the cuff because every time he says something off the cuff, he puts his foot in his mouth. Yeah, Bill Clinton stood up at the podium the other day, and I'm no fan of Bill Clinton. I believe he was a pretty good president. But hell, if I shook hands with him, I'd draw my hand back and count the ring on my finger and make sure that's still there and, you know, check to make sure all my fingers are there too. But boy, I tell you what, he didn't use a teleprompter. Bill Clinton didn't need one. He simply stood there, answered questions with no prepared notes, no teleprompter, and talked for about 40 minutes. Whereas if President Obama were standing at the podium, there would be a teleprompter and he'd be speaking with his head facing the left and then turn to the right so that he can get a look at that prompter on that side, never once looking out at the crowd, the throne of reporters, never once because he couldn't take his eye off the prompter. President Obama, and you know what? No Republican or no political pundit has stated the obvious when these analogies are brought to fore. No one said, and I wish someone would say, that Barack Obama is no Bill Clinton and Barack Obama is no Ronald Reagan. Barack Obama is an empty suit, a wooden statue, who needs a teleprompter to tell him what to say. Because when he does speak without that thing, all sorts of stupid stuff comes out of his mouth. The guy is a moron. And I don't understand for the life of me why he's being played up as being this great genius and being so brilliant. Clearly, he is not. If he were, he wouldn't be making all these stupid, stupid mistakes. Why would he, a genius, a brilliant man, antagonize the Chamber of Commerce and Republicans, whom he's going to need for the next 2 years? Why would he label them hostage takers? The election is over, Barack. It's time to govern now and stop all the stupid rhetoric. Bill Clinton understood that when he had his ass handed to him. This guy will not change. He can't. He can't change. He can't change up. Because he believes what he believes, and he believes that government will solve all of our problems. All of them. Just like the woman who wanted her Obama money. I can't help it. I gotta play it just one more time. I'm sorry. I can't hold back. I gotta play it one more time.
Her daughter out of school early Wednesday for this. Her emotions ran high following Obama's speech.
It was the most memorable time of my life. It was a touching moment because I never thought this day would ever happen. I won't have to worry about putting gas in my car. I won't have to worry about paying my mortgage. You know, if I help him, he's going to help me.
It's almost embarrassing. Is this woman still walking around somewhere? I mean, are you kidding me? She took her two daughters, who look like they would much rather be somewhere else. And she's standing there saying out loud that with President Obama's election, she will no longer have to pay her mortgage. She don't have to worry about paying her mortgage or paying for her gas and other stuff. Because if she takes care of Obama, Obama will take care of her. It's absurd. And it shows that we still have this mentality that we need to be taken care of, that government can solve all our problems. Speaking of which, the FDA is moving ahead with rationing. And weren't we told that this wasn't going to happen? Weren't we told that there would be no rationing, that if we had our doctor, if we liked the doctor that we had, we could keep our doctor? Thanks for allowing us to keep our doctor, by the way. But if we had our doctor, we could keep our doctor. Yeah. So we could keep our doctor if we wanted to keep him. But now rationing has already started ahead of 2014. So now sources on Capitol Hill have informed Capitol Confidential that the Food and Drug Administration will indeed begin rationing late-stage cancer drugs. The FDA will make at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time Friday an announcement that will begin denying Avastin to breast cancer patients, but will graciously offer the creator of the drug a final show trial of a hearing in 60 days. Wow. So now the FDA will be judge, jury, and executioner. Unfortunately, the victims of breast cancer will be the ones punished and harmed. Now, the FDA has never before limited access to a drug based upon cost considerations. Yet there are some within the agency that are intent on breaking new ground to justify a rationing regime designed to drive down the cost of health care. Avastin is the test case. There's no evidence that the pending show trial would temper the enthusiasm for the rationing scheme. So here we are, just moving closer and closer and closer to being the UK and Canada when it comes to healthcare. The drug costs too much. So if mama has breast cancer, sometimes, in some cases, even dad, I've heard of men having breast cancer. It's odd, rare, but it does happen. If granny has breast cancer and this drug will help to cure them, you can pretty much kiss their asses goodbye. And that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. Because when a procedure becomes too expensive, the government's going to decide whether or not you should have it. And this is the cost that we're going to have to, the burden of the cost we're going to have to worry about paying down the line. Now, the lady who wanted the free stuff, don't worry, have to worry about paying her car note. Don't know who's going to pay that or pay for her gas. Maybe she thought she could just roll up to the pump and say that she's a friend of Obama and then they were going to fill her tank. But what's going to happen if one of her daughters gets sick? Heaven forbid, and needs medical attention, and needs a drug that's deemed to be quite expensive. And a government panel says, panel of six or three or eight or 12, vote whether or not her daughter should receive expensive treatment. Let's Let's do a scenario. The doctor says, well, with the treatment, she will live 2 years. Without the treatment, she may live 18 months. 2 years, well, let's do something better. 2 years, 2 to 5 years. Without the treatment, 18 months to 2 years. Well, the panel might decide, well, you know what, that's not quite good enough. This is really expensive, and we need better odds. You know, if the odds were a little bit more in her favor, then maybe we'd go ahead and spend the money. But right now, we're kind of running short because this whole Obamacare thing, you know, isn't really working out the way we said it would. The costs aren't going down, they're going up. And, oh, by the way, we have a shortage of doctors and nurses because now we have so many more people to attend to that there simply aren't enough. We can't churn out the doctors and nurses fast enough. So we're churning out doctors and nurses and as fast as we can. And, you know, we had to relax our standards to get, you know, more doctors out there. So we don't really have the best doctors in the world anymore. We just have a bunch of mediocre doctors. But we have doctors, but we still don't have enough. So, you know, what are you going to do? Pretty soon, we'll be going over to Canada to get our medical care instead of Canadians coming to us. Pretty soon, we'll be flying off to Switzerland or some other country for medical treatment. Because when President Obama, Nancy Pelosi and company, Harry Reid, decided that they were going to provide universal health care to everyone, and then demanded that everyone buy health insurance, whether we wanted it or not. Basically, what they did was they're collapsing the greatest healthcare system in the entire world and turning it into something that's mediocre. And there are those who say, well, you know, I had a friend of mine earlier today said, well, don't you care about the older people? Don't you care about... It's not a matter of caring. It's not a matter of caring whether I care or not. And you know what? I told her straight out. You know, when my grandmother became ill, we took care of her. And that's what family is for. Sure, she had medical benefits, but we saw to it as a collective family unit that we would take care of our loved one. Now, some might say, well, that's what we're doing. We're taking care of our collective American family unit. No, 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 no. When the government puts its hand into private businesses or into things like healthcare, they screw it up. Obama was just dumb enough last year to use the United States Post Office as an analogy for why we needed to fix health care. And he coupled in FedEx. Okay, FedEx does great business. They'll get your package to you pretty damn quick. The Post Office, well, they're pretty much going out of business right now. They're billions in debt. I don't even understand how he made that analogy. I'm a veteran. I served in the Marine Corps for 26 years. I visited VA hospitals. If anybody believes that universal health care or Obamacare is good for this country, or if you have any doubts at all, take a trip over to your nearest VA hospital, which is run by the United States government, and just walk around. Just stand around for a few moments. Go up and try to ask a question of anyone who works there. You'll come out of that place vowing never to support Obamacare or government state-run health care. Because there is no greater example than the VA to show you how horrible it can be. People just don't care. I'm telling you right now. It's like going into a UPS store, your local UPS store, and asking a question. Run as a private business, a franchise in most cases, or go into a mailbox plus, a mailbox, etc. Or go into the FedEx Kinko's place and ask a question. They'll be all over you like white on rice. They'll treat you like a rock star in those places. I guarantee it. And if they don't, the manager will hear about it, and somebody's going to be minus a job before the end of the day, because people are looking for jobs all over the country so people can be replaced. But for the most part, you understand my analogy. Walk into any of these places and you'll be treated right. Walk into the post office, your nearest post office. The lines are long, most cases. And the folks won't even look you in the eye. Rarely will they answer a question. And they treat you as if you are intruding on their leisure time. The government-run agency versus private industry. There's an example for you. There are two examples. Visit a VA hospital if you believe state-run, government-run healthcare is a good idea. If you believe that government-run anything is a good idea, walk over to the post office. Drive over to the post office and then drive over to a FedEx or Kinko's or mailbox, etc. They handle the mail over there. And you'll see exactly what I mean. The government does nothing right when it comes to business, when it comes to taking care of things. I was a young Marine officer when the $700 hammer scandal broke in Washington, D.C. I was a young Marine officer when the $500 toilet seat scandal broke. The government was paying for toilet seats that cost in excess of $500 and hammers in excess of $700. They were so inept that private industries were getting over on them like fat rats because they didn't care how much it cost because they believed that the government had more money than God. So they could, $700, they didn't even look at the price. This was back in 1984, 85. And they're still that way, under immense pressure. Today, the Senate dropped that massive $1.3 trillion omnibus spending bill. So much pressure was put on these guys that they had no choice but to drop that spending bill and settle for a one-page bill. This is common sense. For the first time, someone in government exercised common sense, just plain old-fashioned, good old American common sense. Why do you need almost a 2,000-page bill to authorize spending for the next year? So now Reed, as goofy as he is, he reminds me of Elmer Fudd. I don't know why. On Elmer Fudd on Prozac. So Reed pulls the $1 trillion spending bill because Senator Jim DeMint said he was going to force the reading of the 1,924-page bill. And that would have taken us into the new year. So because of Jim DeMint's pressure to have everybody read it, Harry Reid figured, well, we need to get a few other things done. And if he's going to force a reading, that's going to take forever. So we'll just pull that and settle for this one-page bill without all this pork. So Democrat controlling the Senate have abandoned the 1,924-page spending measure, chasing to say it, that's laced with home state pet projects known as earmarks that would have provided another $158 billion for military operations in Iraq and Afghanistan. Nevada Democrat Harry Reid gave up on the bill after several Republicans, oh, God bless you, who had been thinking of voting for the bill, pulled back their support. So without support for the bill and knowing that DeMint would have the bill read on the floor, taking up all sorts of valuable time, well, the Democrats blinked again. They caved again, and thank goodness for that. This is getting out of hand. I mean, really. This is not what the people of America voted for. This is not the hope and change that Americans voted for. In November, Americans voted for less spending, more accountability. Has anybody noticed the word transparency being used an awful lot these days? It's being used in commercials. It's being used in television shows. Hell, I heard the word transparency used on one of my favorite new shows called The Defenders. And then I heard it again on The Mentalist. And all of a sudden, this word transparency is popping up everywhere. Well, there's no transparency anywhere. But it's now a very popular word. Certainly the government isn't exercising any transparency. Earmarks are what we're supposed to do, Harry Reid said. But I believe it's a way for the executive branch to steal power. There's public support for a ban on unquestioned earmarks. And I, like so many Republicans, believe that each earmark should be justified on the Senate floor in full detail and then have it voted on. It's amazing to me. So, preparing for a final showdown on the massive $1.1 trillion spending bill, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid defended the thousands of earmarks in the measure as the basic function of Congress. Why isn't this guy gone? Shouldn't he be somewhere else right now? Like retired in Lake Tahoe or someplace? This guy is an idiot. He's an even bigger idiot than our president. That's our job. That's what we're supposed to do, Mr. Reid, Nevada Democrat said as he chastened fellow senators who, while having requested pork barrel spending earlier this year, are now decrying their inclusion in the spending. Of course they are, because the American people are on that ass, saying, no. No, thank you. This is not what we want you to do. So earlier in the year, when the year was young and the Democrats didn't take a shellacking, folks were like, well, let's spend like there's no tomorrow. We're going to spend like it's 1999. But now, since America has spoken, of course they're shy about that. They want to be reelected when their time comes, and in 2012, a lot of senators are up for reelection. And they are aware now that the American people will not stand for a great deal of spending, needless spending with money that we do not have. It's amazing to me that this sort of thing is still going on. Why don't they just go home? You know, this government, I hasten to say it, this government has become so out of whack, so dysfunctional, that I don't know if I can even bring myself to say it. It's so dysfunctional that there needs to be a serious house cleaning. I'm not going to say what I really want to say. I'm not going to use the R word. But there needs to be a serious house cleaning come 2012. Harry Reid, you got to go. I know you're not going for another 6 years, but you know, maybe you'll just decide to retire or something. And the next go around, we need to get even more Democrats out of here and more Democrats out of the Senate, because this is absurd. Wow. It's amazing. Now, on to something else. My man and yours, Glenn Beck. Critics are lining up to stop Glenn Beck, and they are failing miserably, and I love it. Progressives have tried every trick in the book to get Glenn Beck off the air. Lately, they've resorted to boycotts. Yeah, uh-huh. Why? Because when they debate an issue, it doesn't go very well. Take the latest ginned up Glenn Beck controversy, the 10% of Muslims are terrorists comment. Here's what Beck said. What is the number of Islamic terrorists? 1%? I think it's closer to 10%. But the rest of the PC world will tell you, oh no, it's minuscule. Okay, well let's take you at your 1%. Look at the havoc of the 1% of Muslims causing on the rest of the world. Okay. The usual leftist dopes sprang into action and denounced Glenn. Maybe this would be the offense that finally gets him off the air. Media Matters, Think Progress, Huffington Post, all piled on. It didn't work. It didn't work at all. And that humiliating defeat they suffered didn't stop CNN's Farhad Zakaria from jumping into the water and repeating the complaint. What a mess. GOP senators are not immune from what is going on. They too are piling on the pork. Still not getting the hint, not all, just a few. Figured they'd slip in a few earmarks here, other $15 million here, $30 million there, $10 million over here. It's not a lot of money when we're talking about billions. Well, they try to be slick and squeeze in a few bucks, not fully realizing that things have changed. The American people as a whole, the people in their very states, we're no longer interested in getting something for nothing, because there is no such thing as something for nothing. Everything has to be paid for one way or another. The lady who said that she would not have to worry about her mortgage or putting gas in her car, etc., etc., somehow, she believed she was going to get something for nothing, or something for, quote, taking care of Obama, end quote, and that he would take care of her That's not free. There is nothing free. So while senators bring home the bacon to their collective states in hopes of showing them, the people of their states, that they are doing their jobs and taking care of their states, well, that's not what they were elected to do. They were elected to represent their individual states, not come home with a healthy wad of cash, federal cash, to spend. Because most people understand that money had to come from somewhere. Whose money is it? It's Obama's money. Couldn't help myself. Wow. So here we are. December. Americans have spoken. It's December 16th. And folks are still not getting it. Now, my man John McCain, I mean, I think he's gone a little too far. It's funny. Earlier this month, I noted the unusual metaphor by Senator Claire McCaskill, a Democrat from Missouri, urging people to take up pitchforks if tax rates were extended to the top income earners. At that time, Scott wondered what might happen if a conservative said the same thing. Well, here we go. I would never be one to declare the casual use of a metaphor as a literal call for a violent uprising. But it is always interesting to play the reverse game. What if Palin had said this? There would be instantaneous demands for her retraction and apology. Well, now one such conservative has obliged. While it wasn't Sarah Palin who said it, it was her running mate, Senator John McCain, Republican, Arizona, who used the analogy twice during a Fox appearance Thursday morning. McCain has 6 more years to do stuff like this. He's not going anywhere. So he's like an old man. You know, when you get to be so old where you feel like you can just say whatever you want to say and the consequences be damned. I'm getting to that point right now, by the way. Well, McCain is probably there too. I'm saying, McCain said, I'm saying to the Tea Parties this morning, grab your pitchforks. Let's stand up against this. It can be stopped, he said about halfway through the interview while talking about the pork-laden omnibus spending bill. I can't help myself. Then, toward the very end, he repeated the analogy. Grab the pitchforks and come to Capitol Hill, Tea Partiers. Suppose a whole bunch of Tea Partiers, and I may label myself as one, grab some pitchforks and headed for the Capitol. How would that look? I wonder. Would you like to do that? Just grab a bunch of... Where would we get the pitchforks? I don't know if they sell those at Home Depot or Lowe's. Would you have to go to like a feed store and get a pitchfork? I'll tell you what. The last time I saw a pitchfork was on an episode of Green Acres. I wonder if any of you out there have seen a pitchfork lately. Aside from the one in that picture where the farmer and his wife are standing side by side. You know that farm picture? I can't remember what it's called. I haven't seen a pitchfork in a long, long time. Well, I think I'm gonna get myself a pitchfork. I'm gonna go out and get myself a pitchfork just in case. Now I'm not saying I'm gonna go out and commit an act of violence, use the pitchfork on somebody and just run them through. But as a metaphor, as a symbol of my defying pork barrel spending, omnibus pork barrel porkapalooza, and I'm going to get myself a pitchfork. I just need to find out where I'm going to get one from. And if anybody's out there listening, get yourself a pitchfork and just kind of put it up somewhere, like underneath the bed or in the closet or, you know, in the laundry room, and just kind of, or in the garage, and just have your pitchfork ready. Just in case we have someone organizes a march on Washington. We all load up our cars. And probably need an SUV for that pitchfork. You know, she can get one, you know, the handle breaks down or something. Probably need an SUV for that. So we load up our SUVs with pitchforks or you know, truck or something, and head to Washington. Don't take any hay, just the pitchforks. And have a big Glenn Beck-style march, a rally with our pitchforks, protesting the massive spending and the piling on of our debt. And, you know, folks are saying, well, this is something that our grandchildren and our children and our grandchildren are going to have to deal with. No. We're dealing with it right now. If we let it get too far, it's going to be so much worse for them. You know, it bothers me when folks suggest that this is a problem for our children and our grandchildren, as if we're just going to ride it out. You know, I'm 47 years old. I'm just going to ride it out. I'm going to live happily ever after. But you, my son, my grandchildren, you're in trouble. No. I'm in trouble. And you're going to be in even worse trouble if we don't do something about it. Grab those pitchforks and let's head to the Capitol. I'm not going to organize the thing. But I'll wait for some Tea Party or just do it. I mean, some Tea Party organizers, because I'm a Tea Party member. But I'll wait for some Tea Party organizers to organize a march on Washington. Maybe John McCain will organize something. We'll all go to Washington with our pitchforks. See if we figure out where to get a pitchfork from. I'd like somebody to call and tell me where I can get myself a pitchfork. I'm seriously going to look into it tomorrow. Oh, well. Hey, it's been wonderful. I've had a great time tonight. I want to get to the football game. But I had a great time. Anyone who's listening, I wish you a wonderful night and a happy day tomorrow. And be careful out there. You know, rainy and the weather's bad and all of that. So, hey, we'll talk tomorrow. Have a good night, and I hope to Home Depot or Lowe's. You really believe that there's going to be one there? Thank you very much. I appreciate you listening. All right, we'll talk tomorrow. I'm going to head over to Home Depot tomorrow morning. I promise you. So we'll talk again tomorrow. Good night.